Well, I wonder, when is the last time you thought, this is too good to be true? I thought it the first time I set foot on the property of my now home. I thought it 2 years ago when the district superintendent called me and asked if I would pastor at Spring Creek. I thought it on each day that the three of my children were born. And I even thought it this year when I opened a birthday gift. I'd just been on a trip with my daughter to California, and we stayed in a hotel that was called Dinah's Garden Inn. Dinah, my name. One of my birthday presents was a welcome mat from Dinah's Garden Inn. I hope that you'll notice it at my back door when you come to my house. It's right there. It has my name on it. Very few things do. And so I asked my daughter, how were you able to get that? And she said, Mom, don't ask questions. It's just too good to be true, right? That is what Luke is trying to tell us about the very first Easter morning, that it's too good to be true. No one could imagine this. No one could have dreamt it up. Not even the people who were closest to Jesus. The women who go to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body when the Sabbath is over are women who have followed him from Galilee. They know his teachings, and they have witnessed the miracles. They've also been witness to the burial. They've seen it and heard it all. There's no piece of the puzzle that's missing for them. However, when they find that the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty, they don't know what to make of it. It's the angels, the divine messengers who are radiant and gleaming that help them to understand. They remind the women of the words that they had heard from Jesus, and they help them put those words into place. It's in verse 7 of the scripture that Wayne just read. Remember, the angels say that the human one, the anointed one, the Messiah, must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Fred Craddock wrote that remembering is the activation of recognition, which means we can't remember what we haven't heard. They've heard these words before. They just can't imagine that these words meant this. The angels activate their recognition. So it's an aha moment for the group that goes to the tomb. The women then report to the disciples. They aren't instructed to do it. They just do it. It's a natural turn of events. It's what we do when things are too good to be true, right? We tell other people about it. The disciples, though, they consider it nonsense. Other translations say they consider it an idle tale or foolish talk or even garbage. It's as if the disciples say, what a bunch of rubbish. This isn't out of disdain for the women. That's a modern wound that we sometimes place on this scripture passage. It's because what has happened is simply unimaginable to the disciples and really to everyone involved. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright teaches that resurrection for a first century Jew was what God would do in the end for all the righteous who had died. It was understood to be a large-scale event. No one ever dreamed that one single person would be killed stone dead and then raised to a new sort of bodily life while the rest of the world carried on as before. You see, it's not a lack of faith or a lack of intelligence that keeps people from understanding the empty tomb. It's simply that nobody ever dreamed of it. Writer Anne Lamott recently wrote, I don't know is the portal to the richness inside of us. I love that. That is a game changer for me. She tells a story of her and her brothers 20 years ago trying to care for their mother, who was living in an apartment and had been recently diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Ann said to the gerontology nurse, "We don't know. We don't know if our mother can stay here in her apartment, how to help her take her meds, how to get her to eat better, because she forgets." And the nurse replied gently, "How could you know?" You see, "I don't know" is not a sign of ignorance, and it's not a sign of a lack of faith. Faith isn't what we know. Faith is about how much we trust, how much we trust the goodness of God. And because of the empty tomb of Easter, we see that the goodness of God is better than we could ever expect. And "I don't know" for Christians just becomes, "I don't know yet." The disciple Peter is worth our attention in Luke 24. One might expect that after denying Jesus and really denying himself, he denies his identity, he denies himself, his community. One might expect that he would cower in shame or maybe run away, leave it all behind him. But instead, Luke tells us that when Peter hears the good news from the women, he doesn't dismiss them like the others have. He gets up and he runs toward the tomb. He runs toward the tomb. There's some hope that is stirred in Peter. He peers into that empty tomb and he sees the linen cloth and he returns home, the scripture says, full of wonder or amazement. I love what Dr. Caroline Lewis wrote, that the resurrection only makes sense when we remain amazed. When we remain amazed, marveling and wondering at the love of God that reversed death itself. We are not asked to explain the resurrection or to offer proof. Instead, like Peter, we are asked to stay in wonder and trust. Trust that the God of resurrection can truly change us and change our world. Did you know that wonder and awe have been studied recently by social scientists? There is a book that was published in 2023 that is titled simply Awe, A-W-E. It was written by Dr. Dacher Keltner. And Dr. Keltner says there is nothing better to do for the state of your mind and your body than to go get some awe. There are many ways to do it. You can listen to music that you love, go for a walk outside, do some gardening, get to know the stories of the people in your lives, put your brain around a big idea, go to a sporting event or a worship service. Check, you did that today. An experience of awe and wonder, it quiets the inner critical voice. It frees us up for thinking, "Hey, this is all about me," and our boundaries just dissolve. It helps us to see that we are a part of something bigger. My New Testament professor in seminary, is a brilliant theologian named Luke Timothy Johnson. He said about Jesus' resurrection that it's so important that it's found in all four Gospels. In each of the four Gospels, the resurrection takes a great amount of space. So there's a great amount of detail about the resurrection. He also says that the story of Jesus' resurrection, the story of someone being raised from the dead wouldn't be unheard of for the Hellenistic culture or the Jewish culture, but there's something unusual about Jesus. What's unusual about Jesus is that he is not just marginally visible when he's resurrected. He's not like a ghost, but he's present in really powerful ways, ways that change lives. And that remains still true today. People have the direction of their lives changed for the better by Jesus. That still happens today. The other unusual and amazing thing about our resurrected Messiah is that he is one who brings people together. Communities form around him, this resurrected Messiah. People come together and understanding flourishes and God's goodness flows through them. It flows through us, bringing new life where it looked like nothing but death. So, happy Easter. Yay for Easter egg hunts and family meals and worship services. All of those things have the potential to stir up some awe and wonder in you today. And I hope that you find time to cherish it. By finding time to cherish it, you honor the disciples who have gone before us, especially those disciples that Luke wrote about. And by finding the time to cherish awe, you honor God, the God of resurrection and the God of everything amazing. Amen.